The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, this is Martin. I'm the manager of the band, but I'll get you to talk right now. Hold on a second.
Hello there.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. What about you?
Good. I was a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting to get your manager first.
Yeah, that was a dark voice. It's okay.
So how's the weather over there in Sweden today?
Very good, actually. Very hot. Been outside all day, so it's cool. Finally.
All right. So if you're ready to get rolling, we can do this.
Yeah, I'm ready, steady.
You listen to Third Eye Cinema, your source for critical discussion of cult cinema and music. Tonight, a triumvirate of female-fronted metal as we speak with Kaveh Wanning of Adrenaline Rush, Capri of Empyrean Dawn, and Chelsea Knock of Paleo Saga, only here on the Big Papa Online Network. Bob Belkrit. Cinema, your source for music and film that matter. Cult, underground, independent, and generally falling outside the mainstream corporate boardroom paint-by-numbers bullshit. First up, we speak to a young woman who came out of a rather unusual background as a child pop star in her native Sweden. Joining forces with a noted guitarist in the current AOR scene, she's back in the public eye with a new band and album that bring back the glory days of good time cruising with the top-down LA-style metal. Join us now as we chat with the lovely Kaveh Wanning of Adrenaline Rush. And just to get you in the spirit of things, here's a track from Kaveh and Adrenaline Rush, where she's going to leave you black and blue.
Floor, I walked away.
Tonight, we're talking music, and we have with us a young woman who came out of a rather unusual background as a child pop star in her native Sweden. Joining forces with a noted guitarist on the current AOR scene, she's back in the public eye with a new band and album that bring back the glory days of good time cruising with top-down LA-style metal. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the lovely Tavi Wanning of Adrenaline Rush. Tavi, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Thank you so much.
I've got to say, I was pretty surprised to hear an album like this in 2014. I mean, you've got big guitars, harmony leads, a bit of flash, melodic backing vocals, and a very positive tone, summertime feel. And, you know, it doesn't exactly hurt matters to have a gorgeous blonde fronting the band.
Well, thank you.
So let's talk a little history. You were apparently something of a child star in Sweden, like I said, with a band called Peaches. Now, I gather you were quite experienced at the time, being all of 8 years old.
Yeah. Little kid back there.
So how did you get involved with that?
Yeah, I was actually a dancer, and my mom knew a couple of guys at a record label, and they were starting a pop duo. So, yeah, she said, yeah, I got a daughter. She's good at dancing. And just one thing led to another, and we, yeah, before we knew it, we had put out 2 albums, a bunch of singles, videos, live TV, and toured all over Sweden and Norway, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, dance and then being like a kid pop star, these aren't the sort of careers we usually associate with hard rock and metal. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, I actually grew up listening to rock and roll from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, thanks to my parents. So that was the start for me. It's always been about the rock and roll, always listening to it, and, yeah, I love the stage performances they're given, so with the type musicians and, you know, the party thing going on.
Right.
The main thing.
Even so, even with this kind of unusual background, we had this killer album to contend with. So you had some prior solo material you were working on as well, which is available at least in part on your website.
Yeah.
I was impressed to hear you attempting covers of Vixen, Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, and of all people, Lorraine Lewis and Femme Fatale. I mean,
yeah.
I was sitting there like, wow, lady has taste, and you know your female fronted hard rock history.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they're such good singers and doing things I want to do, so great musicians, and I hope some of them heard the things. Lorraine had heard my single of Waiting for the Big One, so that's cool.
Oh, really? She contacted you?
Yeah, I sent it to her for a couple of years ago.
Girls Gone Wild has a lot of girls, girls, girls that were Motley Crue in it, but there's a general feel of like late 80s Hollywood glam to the entire album. It's definitely got that sort of good time feel to it. I also hear a clear XYZ influence in No, No, No. They were kind of like a house band at the Whiskey back in the day who took the Dokken template and added a dash of groove to it. And then there was a few Whitesnake-like power ballads like I Want It All and When We're Gone. These are already good bands to be modeling yourselves after. Were these conscious influences?
Yeah. Eric is such an incredible, talented guy. Eric from Eclipse and Wet. He's a great songwriter, musician, and producer. So ideas just kept going, and after a short while, we had a bunch of tracks that were exactly what I wanted. Yeah, you know, good melodies, great riffs, and very energetic and live-oriented songs. So, yeah, and like I said, I've been listening to the whole rock and roll thing my whole life, so I like that sort of music.
And interestingly, the band I'm hearing immediately from you is Princess Pang with Jenny Foster. I mean, you've got a lot of her, that sort of forceful, slightly nasal delivery. So was that a conscious influence as well?
No, actually not.
Really? Early hype and press releases seem to reference Danger Danger quite a bit. And like Firehouse, Trickster, Warrant, and Winger, they were never really accepted by a lot of the metal crowd for being, you know, a bit lighter, more glam in orientation. I mean, you could just look at like Beavis and Butthead with Stewart in his Winger shirts. But, you know, it was all part of the scene, and there's nothing wrong with forefronting a little melody with all the guitars. You know, it's actually more of a rare thing in today's metal scene, which obviously got a lot heavier and darker, but lost a lot of that catchiness and just about all of that party feel. So thanks for bringing that back.
Thank you so much. I'm glad. I'm glad you guys like it.
So Frontiers has been tapping to a lot of this sort of retro thing, though. They mainly stick to an early to mid-80s AOR thing, you know, things like Aldo Nova, Pat Benatar, Saga, Journey, that kind of sound. And I noticed that the bands that they have are working this sort of late 80s metal sound seem to always involve Alessandro Del Vecchio, who's in bands like Eden's Curse and Silent Force, as songwriter, producer, musician, or all three. So how did you manage to sidestep the all-encompassing hand of Alessandro to pull in Eric Martinson as producer?
I've worked with Eric briefly laying down vocals on a song of his a couple of years back, and just by chance I ran into him at a Crybars concert here, and we just decided to meet up and see if we could do some serious work together. So that was basically it. He's such a nice, genuine person, so if he likes someone or something, so yeah, he's going for it.
So what made
I'm a lucky girl.
So what made you form Adrenaline Rush? Because you were doing this child pop band, and then you started doing some solo material, but then all of a sudden here you are doing something that's almost completely different.
Yeah, but not different. Like I said, it's always been where my heart is, so I always wanted to do the rock and roll thing.
Right.
So it was just the next step for me.
So,
and I never wanted to be a solo artist. I wanted to have the guys with me.
And I understand that these were recruited from a number of different Swedish bands around the area.
Yeah.
So you were just auditioning people at random, or did you have people in mind, or was this more from Eric?
No, it's actually my friends. I've gone to school with some of them. And
oh, really?
Just, yeah, we're friends, and they are playing in bands, other bands around here in Stockholm, so I knew them before. And they are big fans of Eric, so.
How is your band being received so far? I imagine you've been touring around a bit, at least on some Frontiers packages. Are people of the audience responsive to this, or is this more of a, wow, where did this come from, kind of out of left field?
We actually, we have just played 5 times, and 1 time outside Sweden, so we're just in the beginning, so.
Right.
But everybody is so nice and appreciates us, so I'm grateful.
So let's talk tour plans. Do you have anything coming up? Do you have any plans to come stateside, maybe?
We're releasing our album 22nd of August, so we're going to have our release party here in Stockholm.
Right.
And I hope to see our friends and our fans there. And the next step is to see how it's going with the record and hopefully going to play some of the winter and hopefully next summer.
So do you have anything you'd like to plug, or do you want to point listeners to your website or your Facebook page?
Yeah, www.adrenalinerush.se, so that's our website, and of course our Facebook page, Adrenaline Rush Official. Check us out.
With that, Tavi, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema, and we'd certainly love to have you back when your next album comes out.
Of course. Give me a call.
All right, so it was a pleasure. It was brief, but it was good to talk to you.
Yeah. Hope my English is okay.
Your English is fine.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Cool. Peace.
And to close out our brief chat with Tavi, here's another one from Adrenaline Rush, signaling that it's time for a change.
Yeah.
You listen to Third Eye Cinema with our special triumvirate of female fronted metal. Coming up next, Capri from Imperium Dawn. And we're going to Third Eye Cinema.
This is Angelica Rillen for Third Eye Cinema. Rock on.
Hey, man, you got Chris from Widow, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema, the only cinema for real metal. I'm making up my own tagline, but you know. Hey, this is Chris from Widow, and when I want really awesome cinema for real metalheads, I listen to Third Eye Cinema. So if you're true, listen up, man. I could do this shit all day, man.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Chris Pachanko. Hi, everybody. This is Chris Pachanko from Vanishing Point, all the way in Australia. You listen to Third Eye Cinema. Check it out. Crank it up.
Greetings, pathetic mortal scum. This is Chris from Gloriana, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
That's my evil wizard.
Wow, that was great.
Hi, this is DC Cooper, and you are listening. Oops. Hi, this is DC Cooper from Royal Hunt, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Okay, hi there. This is George and Thomas from Serenity, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema show together with Sheen.
That's right.
Should we do it one more time? Yes, okay. So, hi there, this is Georg and Thomas from Serenity, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson. Why don't you do yourself a favor and check out the new Eden Spirit album? It's called Symphony of Sin. I love it, especially when they give away free donuts!
I'll do your normal one if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
Hi, this is Paul Logue from the band Eden's Curse, and you're listening... Sorry, mate, I forgot your station. Hi, this is Paul Logue from Eden's Curse, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Check out the new album, Symphony of Sin. Keep rocking. Stay cursed.
Hey, this is Davey Vane from Vane. I want you to get very close to your speakers right now, right up against your speakers, because you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hello?
Hey, Davey. How
hey,
are you doing?
Is that my name right? I'm great. No one else heard before said my name right. It's are you married to some Finnish girl or what?
No, I am married to a girl from another country, but so I'm pretty good with these kind of accents and things. I'm glad I got yours right. Hello, are you still there?
Hello again.
Hello again. I don't know what happened. It just told me you dropped off in the middle of that.
Okay, yeah. I didn't touch it. I don't know how to say it, but I have my iPad, so yeah, maybe I touch somewhere.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
But, no, I am not married to a Finnish girl. So I'm just good with accents.
Yeah.
So, how is the weather over there in Finland? I guess it's afternoon for you now.
Yeah, it's 3 p.m. right now, and it's quite hot here, and I think it's going to be thunder.
We've had a lot of that last night. It actually woke me up. It was so loud. The building shook, and there was, like, lightning flashes. And
terrible.
But we get through it. So, yeah, if you're ready, we can get rolling.
Yeah, this is not live. No.
No.
Okay, so if I'm stupid, you can fix it.
every once in a while, someone asks that. No, that's fine. Nobody ever sounds stupid on air. Funny maybe, but stupid now.
Yeah. Okay.
And next up, we have with us a woman who came out of a solo pop career in her native Finland to join forces with a noble band in the gothic metal scene. losing both their former vocalist and half their guitar team during a major band shakeup a few years back. Founding member and keyboardist Thomas Zappala has revived the band with a very different style of vocalist, moving out of a more particularly gothic symphonic milieu into more of a power metal-inflected, radio-friendly take on gothic metal. After introducing their new vocalist with an album of reworked favorites last year, she finally gets her chance to shine on her first all-original recording with the band Magic Forest. Please join us as we speak to the inimitable Päivi Värikkönen, better known as Capri of Imbrium Dawn, only here on Third Eye Cinema. And just to show you what we're talking about, here's a track from the new album Magic Forest. This is Cherish My Memory. We'll be right back.
Tonight we're talking music, and we have with us a woman who came out of a solo pop career in her native Finland to join forces with a notable band in the gothic metal scene. Losing both their former vocalist and half of their guitar team during a major band shakeup a few years back, founding member and keyboardist Tuomas Sipola has revived the band with a very different style of vocalist, moving out of a more particularly gothic symphonic milieu into more of a power metal-inflected, radio-friendly take on gothic metal. After introducing a new vocalist with an album of rework favorites last year, she finally gets a chance to shine on her first all-original recording with the band Magic Forest. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the lovely Päivi Virkkunen, better known as Capri of Vampirian Dawn. Capri, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Why, thank you very much.
How does it feel to have your first true album with the band under your belt? You know, I'd imagine you've been getting a fair amount of positive attention by now.
Well, of course, it feels wonderful because Magic Forest is the first album I ever wrote lyrics, so this has been a very exciting time for me. I don't know what else to say.
Was it odd stepping in and essentially covering all that older material as the sort of debut to the band's fans? Because I would think that way would be a lot harder than just coming in with something entirely new that's all yours, so to speak.
Yeah, if I'm honest, it was quite odd. Although I have been singing cover gigs and tributes, so that kind of way, it was easy. Of course, I was questioning what would Heidi say, but I was honored to sing her story. So my opinion is that Re-Evolution is a compilation of great songs and awesome stories. So I think I was kind of excited to re-record those songs. Yeah, because I sing them in my style, and I think we were all pleased how them turn out. And I don't really compare singers or bands at all, ever, because I think music is music, and Tuomas wanted to hear those songs, how they sound by me, although they were already great by Heidi.
Exactly. But, you know, like I'm saying, as the first step with a band, this is your introduction, and you're just doing covers of old material. That just comes off a little strange. Like, wow, how hard was that for you?
It was hard, but I liked it.
Now, obviously, you know, former frontwoman Heidi Parvainen had a very different sound and approach, tapping more into the standard semi-operatic soprano thing that gothic symphonic metal genre is known for. But you have a more gritty, mid-range, radio-friendly tonality, which has to impact the band's sound, per se. It's like comparing apples and oranges. So what do you feel you bring to the band that they may not have been embracing or tapping into previously?
Well, I think that when I joined the band, it was kind of a new era because, of course, I brought my voice and then I brought my stories, and they are so from Hades. So, of course, our band sounds different and feel different now. And I think the singer's role is to tell the story as extensively as possible. And for that, I want to use every aspect of my potential. When I sing, I don't think about the technique. For me, singing is not a pre-decided style. It's about the story. And if the story needs opera, I sing. So if it needs rock, I sing like that. And I believe, and I can do anything I want with my instrument. So if I can't, I practice. So I don't know. Music is music.
You also come with a slightly unusual history in that, much like Sirenia's Aileen Jimenez, you're previously known for something of a pop career. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, my first singing contest was when I was 3. So I already knew then I was going to be a singer, and after high school I started to study to be a vocal coach. I've been singing different styles of music all my life, and I find, of course, every style challenging. For example, I was in the finals of Eurovision Song Contest in 2009 with Walder's People, and I have sang backing vocals in many albums, and I teach singing in musical theater, and I do different kind of gigs. But despite all that, I always enjoy singing rock metal. I find it challenging.
So you actually came to the attention of the public by means of your participation in Eurovision, hey? Because I knew it was all by song contest. I wasn't aware it was Eurovision.
Yeah, it was Eurovision. Oh, wow. That was strange.
So speaking of that, I also hear that you and I have something unusual in common for metal musicians, that you're a big fan of a certain Swedish band of renown.
Yeah, it's ABBA. Yeah, and as well as I remember, I fell in love with the voice of Agneta.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what they were singing about because I didn't know any English then, but I got chills when she sang,
yeah.
And I remember the song was The Winner Takes It All, and now at already there are kind of no chorus, there are no lyrics that, how do you say it, twice. the same thing. It's kind of, if you read a book, there are no something lines and the winner.
You actually broke up a lot on that response. So the last thing that came through clearly was that you were really in love with Agnes's voice and the winner takes it all and give you chills. And after that, it just broke up like crazy. So
okay, I can live with that short answer.
But I think you were saying something about the chorus.
Yeah, I meant it. There are no double lines. Like, chorus usually are the same, once, twice, twice. But winner takes it all, there are none. It's a one story, like if you're reading a book. That's why I like it.
Yeah, the unusual song structure. And you actually took your fandom a step further than most, actually performing as Frida in some sort of Abomania style.
Well, the director of the musical, that I'm exactly like Frida. So he asked me to do the role, and I played a new acting part, and he asked me to do the role. And I'd never played in musical before. I was very nervous acting part. But it turned out to be fun. It's fun. And now it's like, this is the second year I'm playing it.
So you're still doing it?
Yeah, I'm still doing it, yeah.
Wow.
So, and now they ask me to do, there are going to be a musical about Whitney Houston.
Who was that fellow that was singing Jose Carrera style on Memorial? Because it was a bit unusual. He was very button-up operatic, and you and the rest of the band are far more legato in feel.
Yeah, he is Markus Nieminen, and he has sung a duet with Heidi before. I think the song was Virva tulen laulu, but I'm not sure. The lyrics of the song is kind of majestical. Yeah, and we thought that he had that kind of voice, what fits the lyrics. So I think that was reason why we chose him.
So All Around, this obviously isn't your typical gothic metal record by a long shot, but it's very catchy, and I know that you play a major role in the sound of that.
I talk a lot, but this is very difficult because this is in English. So,
right.
I don't know how to answer this because I really don't listen any music because I teach singing and I live with music, so I don't know how to answer.
Let's talk tour plans. Do you have anything coming up? Do you have any plans to come stateside, maybe?
Yeah, we have plans, but you have to ask it, woman. This is the idiot part.
Is there anything that you'd like to plug, or did you want to point listeners towards your website or your Facebook page?
No, we have Facebook, like Amberi and Dawn, and then I have Facebook Capri, Amberi and Dawn, and then I have Instagram. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
And that's Capri, Amberi and Dawn. But I don't know if I have to say anything else. I don't know.
That's really good enough.
I don't have one here. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, with that, Capri, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema, and we'll certainly love to have you back to talk to your next album.
Oh, thank you. Oh, one was right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with anything that you said or whatever.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You too. Take care. Bye. Bye.
And to close out our interview with Capri, here's the title card off the new album, which may require you to pull out some funny mushrooms and put on your adventurous cap. Be sure to avoid the short toads, because we're about to head down to the Magic Forest. listening to Third Eye Cinema with our special evening of female-fronted metal. Coming up next, Chelsea Knott and Jordan Ames, Beautiful Song, only here on Third Eye Cinema.
Just for practice, how do I say this? Third Eye Cinema. Okay. Hello, this is Diana van Giersbergen from Xandria and the Cleavers, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Nice. Very dramatic, too. I like that. Sort of Maria Callas approach.
Hey, that's what I do.
I know, I heard Daughter of Corinth.
This is Lambal from Edenbridge, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Alex Taropoli from Rhapsody of Fire, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Udo Dockslader, the singer of UDO, and you're listening to the show Third Eye Cinema.
Hello!
Hi, Gene, this is Jordan Jelty here.
How you doing?
How are you,
Phil? Good. So how's the weather out there in Minnesota? I mean, over here it's freezing. I mean, it's like 60-something degrees in the middle of August. So I can only imagine Minnesota's worse.
Actually,
it's really nice here, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You got all our good weather. Bring
it
back.
Like up in the 80s.
Wow, what a difference. Yeah, I actually saw people going around in hoodies last night. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
So, all right, so if you're ready, we can get rolling.
I'm ready.
And finally, we speak to the first true gothic symphonic metal act to hail from domestic shores. Following on our interviews with Leif Christine of Lee's Eyes and Diana von Heersbergen of Gondria, we have with us an unusual act whose sound both looks backwards and marks a progression forward for the gothic symphonic metal scene. Originally hailing from Texas and now based out of Minnesota, we speak with two members of a brand new act who may very well be the first actually symphonically oriented gothic metal band ever to hail from the USA. With a pronounced power metal influence bolstered by prominent, unusually busy guitar work and operatic vocals, they self-released one of the more notable albums in the new gothic symphonic metal revival. Please join us as we welcome vocalist Chelsea Knott and drummer Jordan Ames of the band Heliosaga. But first up, just so you know what we're talking about, here's Heliosaga with a little ditty about a rather lofty, if not Brobdingnagian, edifice. Or if you prefer, this one's about a tower so tall.
Oh,
Tonight, we're talking music, and we have with us an unusual act whose sound both looks backwards and marks a progression forward for a much-beloved scene, currently experiencing an unexpected revival of sorts. While veterans like Lee's Eyes, Delane, and Zandria have recently released surprisingly vital albums evoking the glory days of the gothic symphonic metal scene in the early to mid-millennium, those bands are both long-standing founders of said scene and hail from more traditional European climes. Originally hailing from Texas and now based out of Minnesota, here we have a brand new act who may very well be the first truly symphonically oriented gothic metal band to ever hail from the USA. With a pronounced power metal influence, bolstered by prominent, unusually busy guitar work and operatic vocals, they self-released one of the few notable gothic symphonic metal albums since the scene's initial decline and fall around 2008, making them an important link in an apparent revitalization of a much-missed musical style. Please join me with a hearty welcome for vocalist Chelsea Knack and drummer Jordan Ames from Heliosaga. Pals and gals, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
So the first question has to be, why gothic symphonic metal? I mean, there's really been a dearth of activity on that front since the days of Legend Land, Black Halo, Consigned to Oblivion, Silent Force, and Vision's Trinity.
Well, I guess that would have been a better question for Damien, but, you know, like most bands, we find our influences, find our commonalities, and start jamming out in the practice space, and, you know, this is kind of what came out of it. Of course, Damien himself has a plethora of songs and ideas that he's already written. You know, he just showed them to us, and, you know, we're all fans of the same kind of music, so
yeah.
That's kind of how it turned out.
But what really amazes here is not only that you chose to harken back to a style that's sort of declined to this Lacuna Coil level of detuned radio pop over the past 6 to 8 years, but that you're actually local folks, relatively speaking. I mean, you know, I could name a few undergroundish acts like Esma Diva and Rain Fell Within and that one good album from Evanescence before Ben Moody left, but that's really it. You know, like power metal, this is a genre we never seem to latch onto or truly comprehend here in the States.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate a little bit, but yeah, I'd have to say, I don't know if I can speak so much for Jordan, but myself, I grew up in a fairly European family. My grandma is directly from Hungary, and so I think I've always kind of been exposed to a lot more of the European sound of music than, you know, most Americans have been. I grew up listening to Hungarian folk songs and ended up eventually finding Nightwish and realizing how they had a similar feel in it, and at least for me anyways.
You would figure you would go into a pagan folk act then, like Teresa's or something. So tell us a bit about, and this is probably more for you, Jordan, about the early days of the band, because there was a bit of turmoil and turnover going on before Chelsea and the move to Minnesota.
Yes. Well, yeah, we basically, when we finally got the full band together and had some time to practice and actually get to a point of playing some shows, you know, like so many bands, some of the reasons why a lot of bands fail is, you know, just plainly dedication. So we had some issues between some members, and
right.
That kind of led to us getting rid of our first singer and looking for a new one. And all that time, we finally, I don't even remember how long we spent looking for a singer, but it was at least 6 months, if not, you know, 8 months or something like that. It was pretty long time. So eventually we were contacted by Chelsea, and we, you know, got to talking, got things rolling, and, you know, through Skype and things like that. And on her birthday, she decided to join the band, and we worked it out to where she was going to move down to Texas, which is where we're originally from.
Right.
And that kind of worked out for a little while until our lease came up, and we decided it was more economical to move to Minnesota. So we packed up our stuff and moved up here, and then we had some, I guess, further difficulties with some other members and stuff, so that's why we're a three-piece now. not permanently, of course, but
right.
At the moment, so.
That has to be a bit of a culture shock, that you're coming right out of the heart of Texas, going up to Minnesota, which is, I would think, completely different culturally.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a little different. You know, I'm not used to seeing so much snow. that's for sure. But, I mean, I'll let Chelsea answer for Texas, but for me, going from Texas to Minnesota, I don't know. It's not all that different. I mean, generally people are nice, you know, just like they are in Texas. And, you know, the one thing that I really do like about Minnesota, other than despite what a lot of people say, I actually enjoy the snow. But people tell me, give me a year or two and I'll start seeing differently. But so far I'm liking it. And I also like that it's, you know, nice and green up here. It's not very green in South Texas. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, that's about as culture shock as I got, except for all the way the pronunciations of bag and bag and things like that.
House.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, don't you know.
Well, you know, that's what it's like dealing with Canadians. You know, my wife is Canadian. You get a lot of that sort of thing, and all about. That Midwestern Canadian connection is really close. So, you know, this was more of a gift to Damien, but it applies to all of you anyway. I see a lot of good albums on your list of favorites, so I can see why the band sounds as good as it does. I mean, you have albums like Karma, Black Halo, Oceanborn, Witchmaster, Reckoning Night, Aegis. I mean, these are some of my favorites as well. But do you have any clue why Damien picked Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2 over Part 1? Because I always thought the best song on the first one.
Yeah, and I apologize. That is only a question for Damien. Yeah, he definitely talks about it all the time how, you know, Helloween was one of those bands that a lot of metalheads have their obsessive phase for one or multiple bands. Right. That was basically, you know, kind of what got him into power metal.
Yeah.
So who were your influences on the drums? Because obviously you have a fairly, I hesitate to say progressive, orientation to the way you're doing things, the polyrhythms, you know, the way you're breaking down the time signature. Who is influencing you?
At this time, yeah, probably I would have to say Portnoy from Dream Theater or Extreme Theater. Contrastly, my first influence was Lars Ulrich, so. So kind of a change there, but
wow.
you know, that's what got me into drums. Like a lot of people get into metal from Metallica. Well, you know, I kind of moved on to stuff like Dream Theater, and so yeah, I would say Portnoy, and then Damien also. He basically introduced me to the European genre of power metal and, you know, gothic. So I mean, of course, I had heard it before, but I mean, I knew very little about it before I met Damien.
You know, I gotta say, and I don't want to turn it into a thing about Metallica, but that's quite an influence because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, yeah, I loved them too when I was 16 and all that, but a lot of people put him on, like, the worst drummer ever list and things like that, and you go from that to, you know, progressive and, you know, doing all this polyrhythm, so I was like, wow, that's a huge leap right there.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, Chelsea, you obviously joined the band a bit later, so tell us a bit about your background. You claim you've only been studying opera for the past 3 years?
Yeah, prior to that, I kind of had a more theatrical mindset. I was really big into theater throughout high school, and so I kind of did the Phantom of the Operas, your Cats. I'm a fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber. From just that list right there. But, you know, I kind of always had this picture of being, especially after Tarja, and then an opera singer named Diana Damaru,
right,
who does a beautiful rendition of Queen of the Night. I really wanted to have that big, powerful, amazing voice, and I found this wonderful teacher, Diana Grisselli, who just really opened me up to that and just really helped me out.
Well, you know, speaking as somebody who's part Italian and made the right choice going with an Italian woman, we are the guys who invented opera. So how did you guys get together? You know, did you have an open audition or something and Chelsea came in? How did this work?
It was pretty interesting. I had actually just been with another band, Desdemone, out of New York, and we'd just broken up, and I kind of wanted to take a break from doing at least metal. I thought, you know, after this happened, and it was kind of hard on me, because you get really close to all your bandmates and stuff like that, so it was really like kind of losing a family in a way.
Right.
I felt like I'm just going to do theater or something really simple like that, but I found this band called Heliosaga on Facebook, and they were looking for a singer, and so I was like, okay, yeah, sure, why not? You know, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to say no. And then I just go on and do theater.
Right.
And so I think I sent them a couple of samples from Desdemone and then just some stuff I had recorded on the side. And they asked me to come and fly out to Texas and do an audition with them. And, you know, I went there and I met the guys, and they were all really awesome. And we all really gelled together very well. And I think at that point we kind of all knew.
Yeah, Chelsea was actually only the second person who we actually got to audition. We did have a few people, you know, basically we would send them our songs, you know, some of our demo songs with no vocals and have them record their own. We had several people reply, but, you know, they either just weren't right for us or, you know, they didn't follow through or something.
Right.
So the only other person that we actually flew out was some girl from California, and, of course, that didn't work out, and so really we only actually auditioned two people, and Chelsea was the second one.
Wow, nice. You guys have some interesting tastes, obviously. You've got bands and albums listed from all over the gothic, symphonic, power, and progressive metal fields. And Chelsea, you have similar tastes to what Damien lists, and also myself, of course, though you pick some different albums and eras of the same band. So I can see somewhat where you're pulling your sound from. I mean, you know, the Tarja influence is obvious, and there's some of the very early Simone Simons in there, or even Leave Christine. But speaking as an opera fan, as well as a metal fan, I hear a bit of Coronatus in there, you know, Carmen Schaefer, that sort of very proper approach. And what I'm saying by this is that your approach is somewhat less lyric and fluid. It's like you're putting your attention to hitting all the notes and getting the flow right rather than playing with it. In other words, it's not like a Pavarotti or an Ingve approach, you know, kind of expressive, playful, let's just mess with the legato kind of a thing. It's more careful and controlled and emotional and evocative in that sense. Where do you derive that from? Is that from your training at the moment?
Yeah, a lot of that does come from my training, and kind of like I said, that sort of opera influence, I guess. I listen to, outside of metal, I listen to a lot of opera singers, and, you know, some of them, though they do like to play with the melody a lot, kind of, you know, schmaltz it up a little.
Right.
I find a lot more of them prefer to stay very true and pure to the music, and I don't know, I've always just kind of liked that style, I guess, a little bit more.
Who do you favor nowadays?
For me, I still have to say Jan Adamaru, and then, oh, there was somebody else I just discovered not too long ago, and I can't remember her name now.
Nevtrenko?
She'd actually done something for a movie once, and she's an amazing singer. Amazing, amazing soprano with a huge range.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out what eras you were pulling from, because, you know, lately it's all Nevtrenko. That's all you ever hear. They're really pushing her. And she's got a fantastic voice and a good lyric approach, but, you know, there's something there that isn't, I don't know, it just doesn't go the same way as, like, a Cecilia Bartoli, or better yet, going back to somebody like Renata Tibaldi. I mean, it's there, but it's, I don't know, there's a different vibe going on. And she's actually the best of the current crop right now. So, I was just curious where you fell there. But your approach, I mean, it's really nice. And this is a strong debut performance. I mean, you have a beautiful voice and tone. So, I got to give you that. You've got natural talent, and your training is impressive. So.
Thank you.
You also have some interesting hobbies listed on your site. I mean, Damien mentioned writing and being a gamer, but you're talking about poetry, dance, art, horseback riding, and being a comic if not sci-fi geek.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm a nerd. I'm full out and proud of it.
Wow. You know, you're just lucky I'm happily married, lady. I'm fighting words. There's passages on the album that show you to be really, you know, rather accomplished. I mean, there's nice stuff all over the place. We're talking about vocally, guitar-wise, on the drums. It's an impressive album, particularly for a bunch of young upstarts out in Prince territory.
Prince territory, man. Thank you. It's always nice to get some kind of validation because, you know, for us, it still kind of feels like the only ones who have heard it is, like, ourselves and our mothers, you know, so. And our mothers' opinions don't really count. I mean, no offense, but.
Well, you know, this is self-released, so that, you know, I understand how you're kind of living in a bubble almost. So do you ever run into his Purple Majesty out there?
No.
So you should record your next one at Paisley Park or wherever the hell it's going to studio space. And, of course, this leads us to the fact that, like I just mentioned, you actually self-released this. So how did you fund this one without backing? The production is flawless. I've heard far worse on major label releases.
Well,
a lot of saving.
Yeah. We're pretty broke right now. We'll just leave it at that. Damien has saved up a ton of money in his time, and I've been working and stuff, and, you know, Chelsea had her money too, so, I mean, it just kind of, you know, we do what we can, and it was kind of tough to get there, but we got there. I guess you just have to make it happen one way or another.
Well, hopefully anybody who hears this interview or that checks out the recent Roundup review, you got the opening slot there, so hopefully that'll help you guys out.
Awesome, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's talk tour plans. I mean, you got any trips to the New York City area coming in the near future? And since you're coming in from Minnesota, will you be bringing cheese?
The Wisconsin cheese.
Unless you mean our jokes, but as of right now, there are no tour plans. The only thing that we've got to say, I guess, is we've got invited to a festival in the UK, but, you know, that's not even official. It was more of a, hey, would you be interested? We said yes, and, you know, that's all it is right now. So, and of course, because we're missing
two members
at the time, we also have to be a complete band before we can tour. So,
yeah. So, do you have anything you'd like to plug, or do you want to point listeners to your website or your Facebook page?
Heliosaga.com is the website. You know, Facebook.com/Heliosaga. You know, we've also got the YouTube channel. We've got some album teasers. Got the lyric video. Got an old single, Light of Ardor. That's about it, as far as I can think of.
And, well, we've got a music video coming up.
Oh, yeah. We've got a music video for one of the songs off of the album coming up. It's being edited as we speak. In fact, we got a rough, or I guess a short edit of it last night, and it's looking pretty cool. So.
Yeah, amazing.
I guess you can look for that sometime after the album comes out. We filmed it, I guess, was it earlier this month?
Yep.
Yeah, so supposed to be like a month of editing, give or take. So I guess that's going to put us probably in September. So I guess sometime after the album in September, we should have our first music video out.
So which song is it for?
It is for Heal All Wounds.
Well, with that, Chelsea, Jordan, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema. And we'd certainly love to have you back when you can talk your next album.
I hope we get there.
And thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. You know, next time around, hopefully we can get all of you on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Take care.
Take care.
And to close our interview with Chelsea and Jordan, we got one more of the debut. This is Scarlet Sphere.
thanks for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoyed our interviews with Pave, Paivi, Chelsea, and Jordan. Stay tuned to thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com for your selling house. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker or musician you'd like to join us on here, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema both of you that you guys up on the network. Part of this or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Block Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience.
Guys, this is Tova from Adrenaline Rush, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Up to 70% off. That's right, at Court Furniture Clearance Center. Get up to 70% off new retail prices and choose from a wide variety of previously leased furniture and decor for your home or office. Sofas from $199.99, bedroom sets from $399.99, dining sets from $299.99, and more. All items are Court certified, guaranteed, and in stock, ready for delivery or to take home today. Make the smart choice and visit one of our five locations in the DMV or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com. Mention Radio 20 and get 20% off.